The word today is Great Fathers Make the Difference. Our text today is out of Matthew chapter 18, first six verses. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Who then is greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Then Jesus called a little child to him, set him in the midst of them, and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one little child like this in my name receives me. And whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were drowned in the deep of the sea." Loving Father, we want to thank you for this day, for the blessing of your word, for the blessing of having you as our Father, our Heavenly Father. God, we want to thank you that you look after us and you care for us, and you're the greatest thing that's ever happened in our lives with Jesus coming into our lives. So, Father, thank you, and speak to our hearts today, we pray, in Jesus' name. Well, to your wonderful fathers today who make a difference in the lives of your children, in your household, I say that you are those responsible dads, those great men who are making a difference in a world that has gone crazy, a world that is now upside down. And we thank God that there are still people who are doing it right. And I trust so far that it's been a very blessed day for you. I want you to know that when your father became a dad, and then when you became a dad, I trust that that was a great experience for you. And if for some reason your childhood wasn't a happy day, hopefully it has been for the children you father. All in all, when you were born, I am certain it was a happy day for the Heavenly Father, especially so when you became born again. And so my prayer for you fathers today is that your children will be happy to have you as a father, as your Heavenly Father is to have you as a son. The happiness and blessings of our children and families have a lot to do with the involvement of godly, caring fathers who reveal God to their children and make a godly impression on them. And speaking of the need of a godly impression, may what was said of one father never be said of you. Two young boys were walking home from Sunday school and sharing their reflections on the lesson. They had been studying the temptation of Christ in the wilderness. Little Peter said to his friend John, "Do you believe that stuff about the devil? Do you think there's really a devil?" John looked at him and said, "Nah, it's just like Santa Claus. It's your dad." Well, as godly fathers reveal God and make a godly impression on their children, I'm sure you're going to introduce them to the real God. So God's eternal family is greatly affected when godly men, caring dads, that is, because Satan is on the loose, leading up a major attack to disrupt and destabilize the family, even more so. Caring dads are standing in the gap and are interceding and praying and caring for their children and instructing them in a way to go. The idea of being a devoted father speaks to the divine significance God has given to the fathers, and generally for the loving care and for the training and the guiding and for the shaping and the influencing of his children. Therefore, being a devout father speaks to the degree of meaning, well-being, and fulfillment that a man can only get from God. So being an authentically caring father starts with knowing God and having a real personal and meaningful relationship with him. Three young boys in a very typical scenario were sitting around debating whose father was the best. The discussion centered around who their father knew. The first boy started the debate by claiming his father knew the mayor. He was soon topped by the second boy, who said, "That's nothing. My dad knows the governor." The stakes were getting pretty high, and the eavesdropping father wondered what his young boy was going to say about him. The little boy shot back, so what? My dad knows God." And I don't think you can top that very much. It might be humorous, but fathers, it is vastly important for your lives that your son or your daughters, for that matter, can say the same thing about you, that my dad knows God. And I pray that our children will always be able to say, "My dad knows God." Men and fathers, we get our identity from God, our Heavenly Father, not the world around us. We often count as most important that for which the world would praise us. But God counts most important that for which He would praise us. So there might be a need in our lives for a paradigm shift, a shifting away from the way we or the world would see and value who we are and what we do. Understand that the world is not our standard. And as I always like to say, make sure your worldview is Christian. You know, you're a Christian before you're anything else, before you're a Democrat or before you're Republican or before you're a liberal or whatever you might be. Make sure your worldview is Christian. It'll define everything about you, everything that you believe. Amen? We get so mixed up in who we really are. But God is the most important one that we should be praising with our lives. So there might be a need in our life for that paradigm shift, shifting away from the way we or the world sees and values life as opposed to how God sees it. So the world, again, is not our standard to live, to buy, or to think about, or to be successful in, or to be a husband or a father after. And that Jesus shows us that the Father is what the Father is like. He is our model, our example, our paradigm for manhood and fatherhood. Mark 10, verse 13 through 16, read, "Then they brought little children to him that he might touch them, but his disciples rebuked those who brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased and said to them, 'Let little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Surely I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it.' And he took up in arms, laid his hands on them, and he took them up in arms and laid his hands on them and blessed them." Now I want you to look at the same text in the King James Version. "At the same time, the disciples came unto Jesus, saying, 'Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?' And Jesus called a little child to him and set him in the midst of them, and said, 'Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one little child in my name receives me. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believes in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hang about his neck, that he were drowned in the depths of the sea." Now, some background study on this text will have us to understand that Jesus says, if you cause one of these little ones to question me, when he used the word offend, or to be thrown off course in their walk with me, it would be better for you to drown. Of course, this would have made a definite impact on Jesus' audience, because the Jewish people at that time had a genuine fear of the ocean. Yes, they were fishermen, but that was on the Sea of Galilee. The Jews have never been a seafaring people. In fact, unlike other coastal countries of their day, they refused to use drowning as a capital punishment because of their fear of the sea. Thus, Jesus was giving a very vivid and very real description of terror. If you cause these little guys to stumble, he said, you are in grave danger. Let every parent and would-be parent take Jesus' words to heart. So we are to care for our children, not to abuse, misguide, or fail to correct them. I always say, if you say, I love them too much to spank them, you don't love them enough. Amen. I don't mean, you know, injuring them, just a little pat to let them, to remind them. I tell you a personal experience. You know, so most of you know, my mother was a pretty tough mother to grow up with. She was standing in the doorway, and she was tall, and she was big. And she said, boy, get in here. And you have to figure out, do I dive over or do I dive under? The long arm, but her name was Anna Ruth. You know, another arm or over the arm. And it didn't matter. It didn't matter. That long arm would catch you and send you rolling across the floor, whap, you know. Amen. So, we understand that you can, I don't advise you to discipline like that because I remember when I got rid of disciplining my oldest son once, I said, Father, I don't want to discipline my kids like that. And I sat down and I prayed and got rid of that in my life and because I was getting ready to deal with Christopher, my oldest son. And so I walked up to him and said, Chris, I said, I put my arm around him and said, you know, I said, I'm sorry that you did that. And he said, man. And we walked out to the back room like friends, you know, just hugging each other. Like sheep to the slaughter, you know. And of course, I was very loving. I had a method, I didn't need but a couple of swats, you know. And not like, you know, the wham, wham, wham. Boy, didn't I tell you wham, wham, wham. As the licks flow, no. But anyway, like I was saying, you know, you have to correct your children. Amen. And you know, that's all right. I know the whole world is trying to invert our standards of what we are able to do and how to raise children. Look what's happening to them today. So I just want to say, it is the Holy Spirit's job to spiritually buff us up. In other words, as we get a vision and true manhood and fatherhood, so it is the Christ and the principle of his kingdom that we must stay connected to in order to find true success and meaning in our lives as Christians. We must stay deeply connected to embrace our truest significance as Christian men, husbands, and fathers. If we get too busy pursuing the significance of the world and the honor of men, we risk losing the very thing we need most, true effectiveness with our family and God's help to overcome the world. You know, men make the best fathers. See, that was the easy one. See, that didn't cost me anything. Especially men who know God. That's what we're talking about. Not that they are good for anything else, but they make the best fathers. Men of this sort will feel the weight of their responsibility and understand the gravity of their role as godly husbands and fathers. And being an effective father speaks directly to the impact that Christ, working in and through the lives of men like these, will have in the lives of their others, especially their own wives and their own children. Because when fathers fail, families fail. And when families fail, children fail in the most heart-rending ways. So fathers, leave an indelible mark on your children. And unfortunately, in America today, for a growing number of children, the mark of their father is a stain or a wound caused by absence or apathy. The conclusion is there's a crisis of fathering in America, and it affects us all. The solution offered is for men to recommit themselves to being the fathers of their children. In spite of the father's modeling, they may or may not have imprinted or stamped itself on their own children's soul and psyche. If you are in Christ, you have undergone a major paradigm shift. You have been charged, changed, recreated, born again of the Spirit of God. And what does 2 Corinthians 5:17 say? Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. You know, and to help people understand, you're not a remodification. He didn't just, you know, throw out the old furniture and say, no, you are completely newborn spirit. Amen? You have been reprocreated spiritually. I hope we really get that, because then we can understand why there's the kind of change that God would have us walk in as godly fathers. Christ in you. Likewise, is out of this rich inheritance of Christ in you, the hope of glory, that God glory, that a wellspring of his wisdom, strength, love, patience, and kindness, and understanding to flow from your heart into the lives of your children. Amen? One little fellow wasn't happy with the emotional response he thought he was being displayed by his father on a stormy night. What he imagined was not the example of the young fellow wanted to see. It was one summer evening during a violent thunderstorm when a mother was tucking him into bed. She was about to turn out the light when he asked, with a trembling in his voice, "Mommy, will you sleep with me tonight?" The mother smiled and gave him a reassuring hug. "I can't, dear," she said. "I have to sleep in Daddy's room." There was a long silence that was broken at last by his shivering voice. "The big sissy." Dads are needed to be strong. And among many other things, they are needed to be the protectors and the spiritual priests and the coverings for their families and homes. And when they are not, it shakes the little one's world. They need to see you as able to watch for them and protect them. I remember one night my second son had a visitation of the spirit kind, of the other kind, not the God kind. I heard him scream. I don't know if my feet even touched the ground, or the rug or the carpet, as I went back to the back room where he was. You know, that's just a father, you know. And when I got back there and comforted him, you know, and he shared the experience with me, and we just kind of sucked it up together, manned up and prayed together, you know, and he is a giant in the Lord today. Well, we were just in Tulsa, we had a prayer meeting together. I said, "Man, you pray like a young Joseph LaFarne Tompkins." I said, "I remember what I prayed like that, you know." And I said, "You know, don't hide that. You need to share that with people. You need to be ministering that to people, you know." And so let God, who is in you, you know, essence that's inside of you, he wants to bring it to the outside. I always think about God as, you know, that we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Yeah, he's the endoskeleton and he's the exoskeleton, you know. You know, I always talk about doing my Iron Man change. You know, whenever you get into a spiritual warfare event, you know, Iron Man, come, all that armor fruit, all that fruit of the Spirit kind of. And I was just sharing, Eric and I were sharing another thing. I said, I heard Joseph Prince saying, grace is a person. Then I realized all the fruit of the Spirit is a person. The person of Jesus Christ. And whenever we talk about putting on the fruit of the Spirit, we're talking about manning up in Christ. Amen? And so, you know, we don't face our lives by ourselves. We don't face our challenges alone. You know, God is with us every moment of every day. Promise to never leave us. So I want you to be comforted by that. As we face our challenges, and we get them. I mean, there's a mean devil in the world today, but greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world. Amen? But we're encouraged by the scripture, pull down strongholds and every high thing that exhausts itself against the knowledge of God. Like one said, he said, pull them down, you know, and root them up and clear them out, you know. So we must continue to engage in this spiritual warfare that we face every day. And teach our children, you know, about the spirit world and how to protect themselves, because he is destroying the lives of so many young people and families today, and we're going to give him a run for his money. Well, praise the Lord. I just want to say God, through Christ, is able to make us true and faithful men, fathers who are really there for our children and our wives. To the question, what will you give your children and what do they need from you? A godly life formed in Christ is about the greatest thing you could ever give your children. So, Saints, I pray God's blessings on you today.